Well, today is a big day. I don't know if you're aware of what is happening, but, and probably big is not the right word, but maybe huge. Today, over a million people are gathering around the world, massing together. They're gathering to really change the world. They're uniting together for one common purpose. They're filling stadiums and public places. They're meeting on beaches and in parks, in churches. They're meeting secretly in homes. What are they doing? Are they demonstrating? No. Are they strategizing? No. Do they have a political agenda? No. Is it a publicity stunt? No. Well, what are they doing? They're praying. Over 1 million people in united prayer for the church and for our world. Today is the global day of prayer, where many people have set aside specifically to unite together as believers and pray for our world and for each other. And I believe as a result of that, that the world that we see right now will be changed. Because I know that God responds when people pray. The world as we know it now will change because of what people are doing today. God responds to our prayers. My own world has been rocked, so to speak, by prayer this past week. I've been praying about some specific things over a period of time. And it seems like many things suddenly came to fruition this week. It was interesting. We prayed about the computer last week. Doris's computer had crashed, and it seemed like kind of a silly thing to pray about when I was thinking about it. But it wasn't a silly thing for her. Monday, I sat down to try and figure out what was going on with that thing and looked at a bunch of different things, nothing seemed to really work. I couldn't even reload software, wouldn't even boot off the CD drive, and I thought, it's a very strange problem. And I'm kind of out of it a little bit. Technology-wise, I used to be on top of these things, so I felt a little frustrated, like I should know how to fix this. But a couple weird things came to mind. And I thought, well, I'll just try it. And rebooted the computer, and it came up and worked fine. I didn't have to reload software. I didn't have to do anything other than a couple minor things. It happened again this week, and I know how it's happening. And I was able to fix it in 5 minutes or so. And I look at that and say, you know what? Even though I know some technology stuff, that's not what was happening there. Because it was just an answer to prayer. People prayed that we could get that fixed, and God fixed it. So it was exciting for me. Many of you know also that our daughter Larissa is graduating from high school, and she has some scholarship offers to Wright State University, but she also wanted to go to Rosedale Bible College and was trying to figure out how she could do this, or if she could do this. So she wrote a letter to Wright State asking if they would consider saving her scholarships for a year so she could go to Rosedale Bible College this year. And we didn't hear back, and this past week we got a letter, or actually they called her and said that they would grant her request, and they were giving her a one-year leave of absence from Wright State, and so she'll be able to pick up in a year, just like a freshman, like she would have started this year. Colleges don't do those kinds of things. A friend of ours, when we were telling them what we were attempting to do, he said, that's not going to happen. They don't do those things. But you know what? God does those things. You know? God does things that people don't do. God moves people in ways that they don't understand. God does things. I didn't ask Kelly's permission, but she got a car this week by, I believe, some miraculous ways as well. It was a real answer to prayer. And so there's just a list of things that each of us, I think, could go down and say, you know what, God is moving. God is doing things. He is responding to the prayers of his people. That doesn't mean that we always understand his answers or that we always know how to pray or what to ask for. One of the quotes that was listed here I thought was pretty interesting. It said, you know, sometimes I'm glad that God didn't answer the prayer that I started off with. And I can look back and say, you know what, there are some prayers that I'm glad that God said no to. Because he knew what was better for me than what I did. And he said no. But at the time, we don't really understand that. We don't understand sometimes the answers he gives. But we can trust that he answers prayer. I wonder what you think about prayer. I believe it is one of the most important things that we can do as a Christian, as a believer, as a devoted follower of Christ. I think you and I have lots of potential. You have lots of skills and abilities. I've seen them at work. I've seen you use them. So no discredit to you, but I think probably the most important task that you could do is to pray. Because God can do so much more than what we can accomplish on our own. I've caught myself sometimes saying, and maybe you have as well, when you're trying to console somebody or comfort them, and you don't know what to do, you feel helpless, and you say, well, you know, I don't know what I can do for you, but maybe I'll just pray. Like, well, just pray, huh? Like, that's the last thing that you think about. Like, okay, everything else is exhausted, so, you know, I'm going to go to my last resort, my last ditch effort, and just kind of, all right, well, maybe that's what I should do is just pray. Makes me a bit uncomfortable, and I've caught myself in that position. We've talked about prayer here often, and it's possible that you're tired of hearing about it. I realize that. But I believe that we have only scratched the surface about the importance and the urgency of faithful prayer. It is not the last resort. It is something that is to be woven intimately around and through everything that we do in life. It's like breathing. It's the very best that we can do for each other. Not that we aren't called to do other things as well, but it is the very best that we can offer for each other, is our prayers. In February, I looked at prayer as crucial to our relationship with God. And today I'd like to look at prayer as crucial to our relationship with each other. What does it look like in relationship with each other? The primary text I would like to use today is Ephesians 6:18. You can turn there or you can look on the screen here and follow along, either way. Ephesians 6:18. We touched on this verse briefly a few weeks ago, and I'd like to dig into it a bit deeper today. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Now, Paul gives us some instruction about how to pray, and then he immediately moves into an application for us. He says, here's how I want you to pray. Now, keep this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, we're going to dig into that a little bit, but I wonder sometimes what comes to mind when we think of this. Do we pray for everybody, all the saints? Seems a bit overwhelming, doesn't it? I want you to think about it just a moment. Look at the person in front of you or behind you. Think about that. When is the last time or beside you that you have prayed for them? Has it been a day? Go ahead, you can look around. Just look around and say, when is the last time I've prayed for that person? Has it been a day, a week, a month? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But it says here that we're to pray for all the saints. How often do we pray for them? Do you have people praying for you that you know are consistently praying for you? One of the things that has meant the most to me is people that come up to me and say, you know what, Rob, I'm praying for you. It means so much to me because I know, and I feel those prayers. I don't know who's praying them, but there are times where I feel that prayer support there around me. And I'm so thankful for those people who are out there praying for me. Do you have someone who you know is praying for you? Or do you have someone that you know you can take your deepest concerns to? Whatever it is, even if it seems silly, or whether you know you've had this either temptation or problem with sin or struggle multiple times, and you've even been embarrassed to bring it up again, that you know that you take it to them and they will pray for you. They will take it seriously. Do you have those kind of people in your life? Well, how do we go about praying for each other? I want to dig into this a little bit. What does it look like? How should we pray for each other? These are some of the questions that I want to look at. And the cool thing in Scripture is it's loaded with examples of how we should pray for each other. We won't have time to look at all of them, but maybe sometime you want to do a little bit of a word study, and you can go just to the New Testament itself, maybe on Bible Gateway is what I do, type in the word pray, and just look at all the verses that come up in regards to prayer, and there's an awful lot of verses there that in regards to praying for one another. And a lot of them are what Paul is talking about, we'll see that, and we're going to look at some of those verses this morning. But to kind of examine this, I want to dig into Ephesians 6:18 a little bit more detail. So we're going to look at it here in the Amplified Version. This kind of gives some more detail to what we're talking about. I want to read it from that translation. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Did I say that right? Which that word actually means earnest request or petition, supplication. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So this kind of adds some description to what we're talking about, and hopefully will help us get our hands on what Paul is asking us to do. And I think one of the most obvious things that we see in how we should pray is that we should pray all the time. Prayer should be an essential element of our relationship with other believers. It should be a crucial element of how we relate to each other as believers. In prayer and praying for each other. As I said earlier, it should be woven through the fabric of our lives. A couple Sundays ago, I appreciated when we were talking, I was talking with several guys together at the end of the service, and one of them shared a difficulty that he was having in his life with the rest of us. And one of the other guys in that circle said, can we just pray for you right now? And so we just put our hands on him and just prayed for him right there. I thought that is what we're talking about here. To take every opportunity to pray for each other. And often we get into the mode, I think, of saying, well, you know, we hear of a need and we tell somebody, I'll pray for you about that. And that's good, too, to be praying in other places. But to take that opportunity right then and just pray, wherever you're at, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you're on the sidewalk, whether you're on the phone. I've prayed with people over the phone a lot. I've prayed with people through Facebook chat. It works. And it's an opportunity to take. There are a lot of different ways that we can pray, and we need to take those opportunities to pray at every opportunity. Now, Paul doesn't just teach this, he lives it out. And I want to point to a bunch of verses. We'll just fly through them here. The beginning of the letter to Romans, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He says that he constantly remembers them at all times in his prayers. Wow. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? He constantly remembers them at all times. Is he just exaggerating? Is Paul just kind of going over the top here? I think he's given us an idea how much he prays for these people. He's continually remembering them in his prayers, these Romans. In the beginning of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 16, he says that he has not stopped giving thanks for them in his prayers. In Philippians, chapter 1, verse 4, we see him praying for all of those in Philippi. In Colossians, he says, we have not stopped praying for you. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 11, once again, Paul says he constantly prays for them. In his letter to Timothy, we find Paul constantly remembering Timothy in prayer, somebody that he was mentoring. And in Philemon, we find Paul praying for him in many different ways. And that's not all of the references, but do you get the idea of how much Paul prayed for other believers? Even though it seems to me that Paul was a very busy man, preaching, teaching, discipling, working, it seems that he is continually praying for his Christian brothers and sisters. It seems that it's like breathing for him, that he was always in an attitude of prayer. And not only is he continually in prayer, but he prays, it seemed like, for everyone. I mean, we just went down through the believers in Ephesus, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Colossae. He prays for Timothy, Philemon, all the saints. And that's the second point I wanted to draw out here. For all the saints. Paul prayed, it seems like, for an awful lot of people here. He didn't just lead people to Christ and then forget about them and say, okay, you're on your own, take off, good luck. No, he cared about them, and he spent a lot of time praying for them, supporting them in prayer. That wasn't the only way he supported them, but it was a large way that he supported them. He didn't just start churches and leave them to fend for themselves, but no, he prayed for them continually. It seems that he's very well connected with other believers. And that is evident in his letters and his deep desire to be with them. Now, it's possible that you might be tuning me out here because these first two points seem a bit overwhelming, don't they? Okay, I'm supposed to pray all the time, and I'm supposed to pray for all the saints, all the believers. How in the world am I going to pull that off? Well, I don't think this call is here to frustrate us or to discourage us, but it's simply to help us understand how important it is to pray for each other, how crucial it is to cover each other in prayer. It's a call to expand the time that we spend in prayer and who we pray for, to get a broader and greater vision for supporting and covering each other with prayer. When you become aware of a need or God brings someone to mind, to not hesitate to pray, even if it's somebody that you're not familiar with, but it's another believer that you know is in need. The third thing that I want to point out is he says to pray in the Spirit. We're reminded that prayer here is really about the will of God, not about the will of man. Some of the quotes that we looked at mention that. It's not about us forcing our will upon God and saying, God, you need to do this, and God, you need to do that. It's about us in a relationship with God, discerning what it is that God wants to do. And actually listening to Him as we pray. Because often we don't even know how to pray. I feel that way in many situations. I don't even know how to pray for somebody. A situation seems so complex, so difficult. I'm not even sure what the answers are or what God might want to do in that person's life. And so sometimes I just have to ask God, teach me to pray. Help me to know how to pray for this person. What is it that you want for this person? Prayer is a time of drawing near to God and discovering His will. So we pray humbly, without assumption that we are dictating what God will do. We submit to the Spirit of God and seek to align ourselves with His will. The next one I want to draw out, I'm calling it with passion. The New American Standard uses the word petition to describe our prayers in this verse here, Ephesians 6:18. This word describes a prayer that comes from the heart, something that a person is striving for. And so I like to use the word passion, to pray with passion and compassion. And we don't have to read far to see examples of this. If you look in Acts chapter 12, you remember the story of Peter, who's in prison. And the church is meeting together, and it says that they're praying earnestly for Peter. They understood his situation, they understood the problem, and they were earnestly seeking the Lord for help in this situation. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, Paul says that he prayed night and day most earnestly, that he might see them to strengthen them in their faith. Earnestly, night and day, Paul is praying. And my favorite one, and I can't say this guy's name, I even looked it up and I look at him like, how do you say that? E-P-A-P-H-R-A-S. Anybody help me with that? It's in Colossians chapter 4. It's a guy's name. And what's described here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, I'm going to try it here. But anyways, this E guy, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. You get the picture? Here is somebody who is wrestling with other people in prayer. Do you have somebody who's wrestling with you? I have people that are wrestling with me in prayer. And it's an awesome thing to think about. And this comes, if you think about this passage that we're looking at, Ephesians 6:18, it comes in the context of spiritual battle. Paul's describing, there is a battle that we are in. We are battling against spiritual forces. And he talks about putting on the armor of God. And then he talks about this prayer cover that we need to extend for each other as we are in that battle. And here we have a man who is wrestling in prayer for others. Oh, for people like this to wrestle in prayer, to wrestle with us. Scripture says that the Spirit of God Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Once again, we get this idea of passion, of prayer that comes from the heart. So we need to ask God to break our hearts, to open our eyes, that He would pour out His love into our hearts, that we would pour out our hearts to Him, so that we would come before His throne and petition Him on behalf of each other. We need to pray with passion. And we're not talking about some simple emotionalism here. We're not talking about what necessarily looks, what it looks like on the outside, that everybody should pray in a certain emotional way. But we're talking about people who take prayer seriously and who take their friends seriously, other believers' situations seriously. That's what we're talking about. And people will enter in and wrestle with others in prayer in this battle that we are in with spiritual forces. The next one is alertness. We see that brought out in this passage. Why do we need to stay alert? It seems a curious thing here to say in the context of praying for each other. What should we be alert about? Well, we need to be aware of what's going on in order to know how to pray for each other. My guess is that there are several of you, maybe many, sitting here this morning, who are struggling with a situation, a problem, maybe some sin, whatever it is in your life, and nobody here knows what's going on. And all of us get really good at coming together and we put the smile on our face and we do all the things that we think we're supposed to do when really inside we're just dying inside. We get really good at doing that. But I've noticed that there's some people I can't get away with that. Some people dig a little deeper, notice a little bit more what's going on, and they won't let me get by with that. They're alert. They're aware. Sometimes it's God Himself who is pointing out to them that this person needs a need, has a need. People call me out of the blue sometimes, and I wonder, how did they know to call me? Well, God spoke to them. They're alert to what He's telling them to do. So we need to stay alert. Maybe it seems curious, a curious thing to say about prayer, but we need to be ready. We need to be well connected with others so that we can be aware of how we should pray for them. What is God saying about a particular situation? How should we pray? Like I said, we often do not know how to pray. We need to be in tune with God so that we can understand how we should pray. And this word really continues to give a sense of urgency, of passion, of interest, of a willingness to be involved. These kind of people know what is going on, and they know how to pray. They know how to pray for you. They know how to pray for your family. They know how to pray for the church and its ministry. They understand the situation. They understand the urgency. And they pray with knowledge and with fervency. They respond to God when He calls them to pray. The last point I want to pull out of this passage, it says, with perseverance. To not give up in prayer. This was one that I don't feel I've done very well at. I can get into a good pattern of praying for people in my life, and then it seems like if I don't see some immediate change or I don't see the situation move the direction that I think it should, my prayers tend to shift or maybe stop altogether. And that's what Paul is talking about, persevering here. He's talking about not giving up. Not giving up on God and not giving up on each other. Our prayers are not based on what we see, but they're based on the promises of God. We do not give up. We do not quit because things aren't turning out the way we would like. We do not give up on each other because the situation seems hopeless. But we continue to faithfully pray for each other. People who pray with perseverance believe that God is going to do something. They expect answers because they know that God answers prayer. That's what people with perseverance do. They expect miracles. They expect God to do amazing things. Not because they're telling God what to do, because they know who God is and what He has done and what He can do. They expect God to do what he has done through the ages and what he promises to do, and that is to answer the prayers of his people. So, what is it that you expect God to do this morning? How do you expect him to respond? What are the situations in your life that you would hope that others are praying for? How are you supporting others, and how are others supporting you? I want to ask Liz to come up and play a little bit on the piano while we go into some time of prayer. And what I'd like to do is, I'd like us to think about how we can pray for each other. I want to try something a little different this morning. I want to spend some time praying for each other. And so first of all, I want to just leave it open for anybody to share how you would like us to pray for you. But later I want to give an opportunity for people to come forward. And when somebody comes forward, I want another person to get up. Or maybe two of you will come together. And I want you to pray for each other. So we're going to leave time for that at the end, but if you would rather just give a request from your seat, you're welcome to do that as well. I don't want to force you to do something you're not comfortable with. But if you want somebody to pray with you, I'm going to give you an opportunity later to come forward. And that's how we're going to close the service. It's for you to come forward and have others come and pray with you. And we will let everybody else filter out the back during that time. But I don't want to give boundaries on it, the amount of time that you need for that. So let's open it up first of all. Is there something that someone would like to share that you'd like us to pray for you?